All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete in the co-main event of BKFC 43, which all goes down on May the 19th, and a very compelling middleweight matchup set to go down as Noah Cutter will knuckle up and toe the line against Dakota Cochran. And great having Dakota on the show. How's your day going so far there, man?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's every day is a little bit busy when you have a business. So, yeah, there's always something going on, but it's good.
Yeah, for sure, and it's a little bit after the fact, but I feel like I should wish you a happy belated birthday, so figured I'd put that out there.
Oh, shit, thank you. I appreciate that.
I was going to say, what did you get up to for that? I imagine you were mostly just doing fight camp-related stuff, but do you get to hang out with, like, the family and things like that, or what did you get up to?
When you're old, you don't look forward to birthdays much anymore.
Yeah.
Pretty much just work and try to have a little bit of time with family. That's about all you can do.
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm at, man. I'm gonna turn 31 this year, and I'm in very much the same boat. But I mean, this would seem like a good next fight for you, just with it being another hometown throwdown in Omaha, like same arena as last time, and looks like from what I can tell the fourth BKFC fight in a row in Omaha. So, can you speak to that? Like, how much does it, I guess, galvanize your already, strong motivation to kind of have that, partisan presence, like the support of the Omaha, Nebraska natives and all?
No, it's great to have fights at home. It's always great to have. I have a lot of support, so that makes the fights really exciting when you got a bunch of people yelling DC and cheering for you. So yeah, it's very special fighting at home, but always added pressure too.
Yeah, I talked to Houston Alexander about that actually. Like, he was saying, there's a certain level of it being cool, but yeah, that pressure can definitely be the case, just because it's like you got to almost perform to the expectation of the crowd and everything.
Yeah, you always expect yourself to do well, but then, you just don't want to let people down. That's usually the only fear. Like, I never will let myself down, but I hate letting other people down.
Yeah, I get what you're laying down for sure, and a lot to talk about with this fight, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly touch on the last one, just kind of getting back to the, BKFC win column. And it looked like a great performance all around, just in the sense of that, sustained effort all throughout leading to that, fifth round stoppage at BKFC 33 in November. What were your, main takeaways from that performance there?
I thought it was an okay performance. I was a little timid. I think that was my main concern, and look after, reviewing the fight, and just I think I was a little more timid. And then when my coaches said, hey, you have to win this round in the fifth round, that's when I got that next level of confidence, or I had to push the pace a lot, and then ended up going my way. So I probably should have done that a lot sooner.
Yeah, and it might be like a bit of a nebulous kind of question to answer, but what do you think kind of informed that, initial timidity before you really, kicked it into gear and got that finish there?
You could account for I lost my last the fight before that in BKFC, so just don't want to. You hate losing, but sometimes if you're too timid, that will cause you to lose too. So sometimes you gotta just say fucking go.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, because I was reading an article saying that across any of your combat sports endeavors, it had never been a case where you dropped three in a row. So that was, especially weighing on your mind early on.
Yes and no. Like, you think about that before, but you really don't think about that while you're in the fight.
Yeah, for sure. You just got to focus on the immediate task at hand. And I mean, you strike me as a guy that would learn a lot from some of those prior experiences anyway, but just kind of curious here to get your insights on this, because some of your earlier, BKFC fights were, light heavyweight or, even higher. And just getting in here for another, bare knuckle bout at 175 pounds. Would you say this is like your optimal like bare knuckle weight category? Like, could you see yourself pursuing opportunities in, you know, this weight division going forward more so?
Yeah, that's where I should be, for my height and my, I guess, lean mass. That's definitely where I should be. I'm just kind of a guy who will take a fight anytime, any place, so, or anyone. So, when they ask you to fight at a certain weight, may not be my preferred weight, but I'm always up for a challenge, and sometimes that's taking me to different weight classes. So, but yeah, I definitely should be 175.
Yeah, and it seems like you're very much looking to, I guess, climb a specific title hierarchy. So it would make sense that you'd be looking at this weight division. Just in that article I referenced before, I was seeing a passage from that saying you were looking to, I guess, really embark on a path towards a big title run this year, like get in the top five and be, really knocking on that door. So I guess to that point, you'd maybe be wanting to stay active this year and stuff like that.
Yeah, I definitely would like to, have a good run this year. So hopefully I can get some more fights outside of Omaha, because that's pretty much the only way I'm going to be as active as I probably need to be.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you'd be, well positioned for sure and everything like that. But I feel like the sport has just grown so much and everything like that. Like, I mean, obviously you had your bare knuckle debut in another organization, but the BKFC debut on that BKFC 6 card, like, it seems like the promotion, even as much as that was like a big statement event that got buzz at the time, it really seems like it's just, increased in its cachet, for, I guess, lack of a better way to say it. Like, have you really, I guess, felt that too, like the, growth of the promotion and stuff like that as you're heading into this next go around with them?
Yeah, it's great to see BKFC doing so well and, growing this sport and opening up states and, giving fighters more opportunities. Dave, he's been really good to me. He's always nice, when I chat with him. So it's good to see a good person excel.
And you kind of touched on something interesting that reminded me of when I was talking to Houston Alexander a bit ago. He was kind of having a laugh at it. Like, it was almost like he took it in more of like a flattering kind of way, but he's like, oh, if I didn't know any better, it would seem like they're trying to, like, grow the scene out there in Nebraska with like me kind of fighting out there. And based on what you're saying, it seems like you've been kind of positioned in almost like a similar regard. Like, have you had any, I was wondering if you had maybe any discourse with BKFC about perhaps even, fighting outside that area just to, have that strength of schedule towards the title that we were talking about a bit ago.
Yeah, I always like going to other places too, because obviously you don't have that pressure. You get to travel a little bit. When you're out, when you're somewhere else, that's really all you have to focus on is the fight. And that's something that, I guess I like. It's nice to have a little break from having to worry about family and friends and tickets and, so there's positive and negatives to fighting at home and fighting away.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I get what you're laying down, and this is kind of a random question, but I guess just to, get your insights on it, I alluded to the fact that your bare knuckle debut was with another organization and you got an impressive victory over Johnny Hendricks there. Like, what was, I guess, that whole thing like? Because it seemed like there was maybe some residual fallout from that was kind of controversial a little bit. Like, what was your, I guess, individual experience with all of that, just the World Bare Knuckle Fighting Federation?
Yeah, it was terrible. everything was good. I was set to fight someone else for a certain dollar amount, and then I went up to accepted a fight against Johnny Hendricks because his opponent fell out. So, I would have been paid like, I think we negotiated like 50 grand to win and knock him out. So that would have been, like one of my biggest paydays ever. So that would have changed my life, because I just started a business at that time, and, that would have helped a lot of things. But then not getting paid, and like the week after, we went down to one of my best friend's weddings in Arizona, spent more money than we probably would have if we, didn't know I was getting 50 grand. So, yeah, it's just, it was, it made the experience very bad, I guess.
Yeah, unfortunately, that seemed to be a common thread among people that, fought on that event. But I guess I partly bring it up to kind of, illustrate where, the industry is at. And you're actually with a promotion where, the checks aren't bouncing and you're getting like the full, disclosed kind of amount and stuff like that. So I imagine that's good, to say the least.
Yeah, it's definitely good not having to worry about, if the money's going to be there when you cash the check, for sure. That's the only thing that really ever stresses me out is money. So it's very good knowing that Bare Knuckle or BKFC is taking care of their fighters.
Yeah, I feel you on the money stresses for sure, man. But just in talking about this next fight here, just with your opponent having, 8 previous Bare Knuckle fights and, finishes across their wins and, having fought some good names, just as you have, like getting in there with former middleweight champ Francesco Ricci and, former welterweight title challenger Caleb Harris, Carlos Trinidad Snake, guys like that. Like, what are your, thoughts on what your opponent brings to the table? Like, what would you say some of Noah Cutter's better, stylistic attributes are? And just thoughts on his bare knuckle resume so far.
Yeah, I mean, as far as resume, he has a lot of fights. He's very tough, and he's not going to quit. So that's is important. That's makes the even a bare knuckle fight more difficult in itself. So I'm a lot different than a lot of those guys. I hit very hard. So he's going to have to face someone who hits very hard, and we'll see how he deals with that.
I was going to say, you've got a strong finishing rate across all your wins, like only one of them having, gone the distance. So, and I mentioned his, finishes and everything like that. So I would think it would be, a safe prop bet for this one for people to say it, ends inside the distance, I suppose.
Yeah, I would definitely think so. My goal every time I go out there is try to finish the fight, no matter if it's MMA or bare knuckle. I don't want to be in there very long. So I want to be in there as short amount of time as possible. Then your pay per minute goes up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that definitely, struck me with your style early on. Like, you seemed like one of the guys that, adapted to the bare knuckle style very early on. Just emphatic finishes of, Johnny Hendricks, as I mentioned. And, I mean, especially the Chris Lieben one, just in the context of how, notoriously durable he is and, the resume he has, and I guess the broader reputation he has. Like, did you, feel that as well? Like, did it just right from the jump feel like a natural fit? Like, obviously you've developed more experience and I guess localized skill within the sport since, but did it feel like a very seamless, kind of transition when you got into it?
Yeah, it's kind of natural for me, I guess. I'm not the greatest boxer, but I feel like I'm a tough guy and I hit hard, so I don't give up. I don't like giving up on any of my fights, so if I do get taken out, then he's definitely earned it. So I'll make sure whoever beats me, they earned it. That's for sure.
Yeah, because it seems like the shot selection in bare knuckle is just like a matter of like the particular placement, and you can really, I guess, elicit that damage, like in the sense of like dropping a guy, but I mean, especially, with the cuts for sure and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky on the cuts. Yeah, I would definitely say I've been very lucky on the cuts. My first bare knuckle, I think it was Jay. I want to say he fought at that WBKF or whatever. Man, he was cut up so bad, and then, you're in the back room and you're like, what the heck did I get myself into? And really, I've been pretty lucky. I've only gotten cut once, and so my face must be fairly durable in resisting cuts.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem like it, and I guess I had a certain question here because I was noticing early last year you got an MMA victory after a few years away from the sport. Like, as much as we're talking about wanting to, make that run in bare knuckle. Like, could you see maybe a similar thing happening with MMA where it's like every now and again when it, seems right, I suppose you'd be interested in taking an MMA fight even as you're mostly prioritizing bare knuckle?
Yeah, like I said, I'm a guy that just likes to, I like to have a challenge. So whether it's MMA or bare knuckle, you give me a date, and I'm gonna prepare for it. So whether it's MMA or bare knuckle, I like to have that date in the like lineup, I guess. It helps me have a goal, helps me make sure I work out and prepare for that, whether it's like I said, MMA or bare knuckle. So I like to have that date and a goal in mind.
Yeah, I love hearing that, man. And you were talking about your business a bit earlier, and I was seeing on one of your social media bios, you are like the co-owner of Husker Deck and Patio. Like, how long have you been involved in that? I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, we started that in 2018, and yeah, it's we've grown every year, and we're a company that, we're custom deck builders, so we'll build pretty much whatever you want, and we do crazy things. We work with steel, glass railing, we do cover decks. We do all kinds of stuff. So we try to push the limit as well. Like I said, I like challenges. So just doing your basic wood 10 by 12 deck is not my interest. That doesn't challenge me. So if I have a cool big deck with lights and cool railing, and where I have to finish like the underside and put a drainage system on it, there's just a lot of things that we can do. Building with steel framing instead of wood, like we just do a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Love to hear about the, work ethic and passion with that. You seem to very much enjoy that, but it seems like you've very much instilled that certain level of drive into your kids. Like, I've seen a couple social media posts about, them wrestling and, getting involved in football and stuff like that. Can you kind of, I guess, speak to that part of it? Like, just, being in the stands and, being dad and kind of seeing like what your lads are getting up to athletics wise. I would think that would be thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have an older daughter, and she's 18, and her work ethic is, she didn't really enjoy the sports as much, but like with her job, she just keeps moving up, and her work ethic was extremely good. So that's something that I think I helped instill in her, and very proud of. But then in my boys, they're a little younger, so they're all about sports. So I definitely install that work ethic, and hey, if you nothing's going to be given to you, so if you want it, you better work for it. So we're not like, I'm not the most naturally gifted guy in the world, but I've worked hard, and I've made a name for myself in the fight world. And if you work hard, I think good things come to those who work hard.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing to bring up because it's like, as we're talking about, you're concurrently involved in business and athletics, and it seems like you're inspiring your kids in both of those regards, like with your daughter and her line of work and stuff like that, and like what your sons are getting up to. So definitely awesome to hear that, man. But I guess one last thing I kind of wanted to touch on while I have you, like there's certain fighters that I talk to who practice a lot of like visualization and stuff like that, like see different outcomes, transpiring in the fight. I guess presuming you're a fighter that maybe does that, like, do you have a predominant visualization for maybe how you see this fight ending, like one that, keeps popping up in your mind?
To be honest, I try to, I don't really worry about the fight. I just go in there and try to, fight my ass off and give it my best. And like I said, usually like the work I've done beforehand, it comes through like in the fight, winning or losing. It's not always, but I don't worry about what he's doing. I'm more focused on what I need to do to accomplish my goal. So I worry about myself more than my opponent.
Yeah, definitely fair, man. I mean, control what you can control. I can understand the logic there, but it's been great having you on the show and great getting to talk to you a bit ahead of this fight, man. So I appreciate you, making that time, and want to be mindful of the rest of your schedule too. So to that point, is there maybe any final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, Dakota?
No, I appreciate you taking the time too. And yeah, it's always great to get to know you guys, and I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm excited for this fight. It'd be a damn good fight, and like I said, let's plan on having a finish before the five rounds. That should be definitely the goal.
Yeah, based on your track record and Noah Cutter's track record, I would think that would be the case. So definitely excited to see all that go down on May 19th at BKFC 43. But until then, man, you have a good rest of your day. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.